Good morning and welcome. Happy Father's Day. If you have your Bible with you, and I hope you do, either in digital form or printed form, I would invite you to open it and join me at Luke chapter 15. We're going to look at several verses there, beginning with verse 11 and going down to verse 32. In this message, a role model for fathers on this Father's Day. Raising children is always a challenge. And good role models are always needed. Let's take a look at one in the Bible. The father of two sons in Jesus' story of the prodigal son. It's found in our passage in Luke 15. Let me share with you three traits which we can see modeled by the father of the prodigal son. An open hand, open arms, and an open heart. First, see him with his open hand releasing his son. Look at verse 11 down to verse 13. And then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. The father was an example. And he must have given his son some rules, some absolutes to live by. There had to be something for the son to rebel against. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 tells us, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Fathers are not only material providers. Fathers are not only mental providers. Fathers are moral providers, as he was, and his son rebelled. Well, what did he do? The father let his son go. He could have refused. He could have withheld the inheritance. He could have played the comparison game. Why can't you be like your brother? He could have gone for the guilt. You're going to break your mother's heart. No, he opened his hand and released him. But he never gave up on him. Disappointments do come to homes. Interestingly, the son left home to be free, but became a slave. Look at verse 15. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. How often this happens when we get out from under the umbrella of God-given authority. All authority is God's. And within all authority, there's authority that is Satan's realm, the authority that he has, and then there's God-given authority that he places over us for our growth, for our protection, for our guidance. The question becomes, when we rebel, how long will we live in the slavery of sin? Well, here's the payoff of the training that the father must have given to his son under his authority, under God-given authority. It's better God's way. Look at verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? The father never gave up. Hope and trust in God's promise was what he was about. he kept looking for him to return. He had to be to notice him coming up the path. Look at verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Don't misunderstand. The father let him go when he was of age, not before. The son needed the legal ability to do the things that he did. It's like the rule that I had with my children growing up as a parent. Church was not optional. They had to go to church all the way up until when they were of age where they could make that decision on their own. And I couldn't control it. But until they were old enough, they were required to be in church. Why? Well, listen, if there's rebellion, and yeah, we had some rebellion, I'd given them something to return to when their life had its way on them and had its way with them. I'll take my chances that way. The statistics aren't very good the other way. The father was a good model. The way to keep his son was to let him go and trust that the training would pay off. Of course, there had to be training. So you got to see the father's open hand. And then second, see his open arms receiving him back. Look at verse 14, down to verse 24. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to him, to his servants, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found," and they began to make merry. The son prepared his speech, probably practiced it, and began to give it to his father, but he couldn't finish. Why? His father stopped him. Don't miss this. There were no crossed arms, no pointing finger, no clenched fists, no cross-examination of where he'd been, and no "I told you so." Simply open arms. But why? Verse 20 says, his father had compassion. Compassion. He knew what his son had gone through. With hopes of being a hired hand, the son was received openly with honor. Huh? And after what he had done, received, forgiven, no grudge, there was no proving he had to do something to be accepted. Wait a minute. So he was restored without parameters? Yes. Because his father saw his difference. This was not the same rebellious spirit that lured him away. The son was not just sorry he got caught. We see true repentance here. He regretted his decision. Verse 17 told us that. He accepted responsibility. Verses 18 and 19. He changed his pattern. Verse 20. The son changed his mind with an attitude adjustment. The son changed his heart with an affection toward home. The son changed his actions. Action matched his repentance. This father is a picture of our Heavenly Father. He didn't deal with us according to our sin and our rebellion. He dealt with us according to his mercy in his Son. When we truly repent, he shows compassion, receiving us with open arms. With an open hand, the Father released his Son. With open arms, the Father received him back. And then third, see his open heart respecting the Son. Look at verse 25 down to verse 32. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you're always with me, and all I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. The younger son's situation was resolved. Then there was the problem with the older. And don't miss that this father was there for his children. Presence. He was there for each of them in their particular situation. As different as they were, first rebellion and then resentment, that father showed respect through an open heart. He met his son where he was and helped him see the situation in the proper light, in the face of anger and attitude. The father was able to handle these situations the way he did because he was in their lives. When parents don't spend time in their children's lives, they begin to talk about quality time because they can't talk about quantity time. Quantity means how much time, and quality means how the time is. A father asked his six-year-old girl which she would rather have, quality time or quantity time, and she quickly replied, quality time and lots of it. We don't know how the story ended. It doesn't say. Did the older son go into the party? Did he remain outside? What we do see is the role model that dad was. An open hand. Wise enough to know that the only way to keep adult children is to let them go. Open arms, always ready to make a way for new beginnings. An open heart, encouraging and blessing the children with His presence in their lives. Maybe this wasn't or is not your experience as a father or of a father. Well, I have good news for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18 says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. What love is that? He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. God loves us. He showed that love by sending His Son to die in our place for our sin, to become sin, to pay the penalty for sin in our place. And He is the perfect role model as a father, with an open hand, with open arms, and with an open heart. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for the example of this father of the prodigal son. Father, may we take this message, take this example, and those of us who are fathers, that we would model it in our lives, be there for our children, be there to let them go when it's necessary, to be ready to receive them back when the moment comes, and to respect them where they are, and in compassion help lead them to where they need to be in their relationship with You. Father, we just thank You and praise You, and it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.